Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome to the Inside Scoop. A man by the name of Richard Glossop is scheduled to die by lethal injection tomorrow. Richard Glossop has been accused of murder. His appeals went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and they said he could be executed by lethal injection in Oklahoma on Wednesday. Part of the problem, indeed one might say the problem, is that he may well be innocent. In fact, much of the testimony that put Glossop behind bars and persuaded the jury to convict him came from a man by the name of Justin Sneed, who may have committed the murder himself. Sneed was a handyman at the hotel where the murder took place, and he cut a deal with prosecutors to testify that his manager pressured him to beat the hotel owner to death. Now, in doing this, Sneed avoided his own death sentence and now lives in a medium security prison. Richard Glossop has claimed that he has always been innocent since he was convicted in 1997. This brings up something that I've long been concerned about. In fact, I've done shows about, and that is the real danger of the death penalty. You can have all kinds of philosophical problems with the death penalty. I know many do. Many feel that the state should not lower itself to the level of a murderer by executing people. The Catholic Church is against that, and many, many good people of all different persuasions, including atheists, including a lot of liberals, including my old boss, Barney Frank, believe the death penalty was never just in any case, even in the case of mass murder, even in the case of Osama bin Laden, even in the case of someone who bragged about the murders and had blood on his hands. This is not that case. Whatever you feel about the death penalty, hypothetically, you've got to be concerned for a man like Richard Glossop, who may just be innocent. A man who is going to the I won't say the chair, because it's going to be a lethal injection, although I assume they'll strap him down in the gurney, but is going to perhaps die, even though he's innocent, and do so based on the testimony of someone who was there at the murder scene, and someone who himself, by fingering Glossop, may have saved his own life. I think we should be very concerned about such allegations. Furthermore, Sneed, the guy that fingered Glossop, Sneed has been bragging. In fact, there was another inmate in the cell across from Sneed who signed an affidavit saying that Sneed was bragging about setting Glossop up to save his own life. Now, again, I don't know who to believe. I certainly wasn't there. I don't know whether Sneed's telling the truth or Glossop is telling the truth, or maybe whether this inmate across the cell from Sneed is telling the truth. Maybe he's lying in order to get a special deal for him. But any time there's a realistic chance that a man or a woman is innocent and is about to be executed, I think we have an obligation as a society to bring that information to a judge, to a jury. I know he's already been convicted. I am someone, by the way, who believes, and some of you may disagree with me on this, that in some very limited circumstances, I'm all right with the death penalty. I'm actually okay that we, in effect, executed Osama bin Laden. I think when someone commits mass murder, someone like Timothy McVeigh or someone like some of these killers, the mass shootings at schools, most of them kill themselves. But in those cases where someone's not insane and someone admits to the murder and maybe brags about it, the Charleston shooter perhaps, if he hadn't killed himself, these are people who might well deserve the death penalty. But whatever you feel about that, this is not that case. And coming on after the break, I'm going to have the author of this Peace and Think Progress. You can, by the way, check me out on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk and read the article for yourself. Aviva Shen is coming on the line to give us the details of this case and why we need to be concerned, we Americans, that a guy in Oklahoma, perhaps an innocent man, is about to be put to death tomorrow. And maybe, just maybe, your own phone calls and your own support can help stop this. Because whatever you feel about the death penalty, whatever you feel about it, all of us can agree that an innocent man should never be put to death. This is Mark Levine. Give me a call at 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. According to Slate Magazine, Richard Glossop is probably an innocent man, and yet he's about to be executed tomorrow. Richard Glossop has hit the stay of his execution, or at least giving it a little bit of time to find out this new information to see whether he's innocent, has been requested by none other than former Republican Senator Tom Coburn, a right-wing conservative. Remember, he didn't do the killing. He was killed by Justin Snead. Snead's fingerprints were on the bloody crime scene. They were found in the victim's car, and he confessed to the killing. The theory that Snead says is that Glossop told him to kill Van Treese, the name of the victim, Barry Van Treese. Is that true? Well, given that Snead had every incentive to say that Glossop did it, meaning that he would not get the death penalty himself, that's strong incentive. If you say to a killer, "We will kill you unless you finger somebody else," they're likely to finger somebody else. He was the state's star witness. And now it looks to me that, he may just get away. Well, I won't say get away with murder because he's serving a long term. But he may just be about the cause of executing an innocent man. Aviva Shen has written about this for Think Progress. Aviva, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So this case is actually an old case. It's about 20 years old. Why is it?
That's correct.
What is it that we know now, if at all, that we didn't know, or I won't say we because we weren't talking about it, but that the jury say didn't know at the time of Glossop's trial?
Well, his original case was actually thrown out because of his inadequate defense team. They just really didn't represent him well. And since then, I think we've found out a lot more about, the character of Justin Snead. Even just like last October, his own daughter wrote a letter to Glossop's attorney saying that her father was, having misgivings about it and that actually Richard Glossop wasn't involved at all. There's been a few affidavits that the defense released this week, sort of a last-ditch effort to save him from execution, that suggested that Justin Snead was actually very deeply addicted to meth and routinely broke into people's rooms and was just kind of a generally, not super stable guy. There's been testimony from experts who say that the confession, or not the confession, but the finger pointing at Glossop was actually coerced or manipulated in certain ways. Evidence that the jury's never heard.
There's no doubt, and it's Snead to admit, that he killed the man, Barry Van Treese. I mean, Snead says that he did it, that he literally killed the man, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not in dispute. The only question is whether or not Snead was, in essence, a hired gun for Glossop.
Mm-hmm.
So So Sneed would have been executed himself if he hadn't testified against Glossop?
Yeah, that's apparently the deal that he struck, and according to his daughter, who won't talk about it anymore, but in her letter last year, she said that he wanted to come forward but was concerned about what that would mean for his plea deal. And I believe he also tried to get out of testifying in the second trial, after Glossop's case had already been thrown out. He tried to get out of testifying, but, was sort of threatened with getting his plea deal revoked. So he went ahead and continued to say that Glossop had pressured him to commit this murder.
If Sneed came forward today, this afternoon, and said, look, all right, I killed the man. I lied because I didn't want the death penalty myself. Richard Glossop is an innocent man. Presumably, Richard Glossop, who served some 18 years on death row, would be freed, but then Sneed would immediately be subject to trial and death row himself.
I don't think it's quite that simple. I think, if Justin Sneed came forward today and said that Richard Glossop had nothing to do with the case, that would definitely be, or I think it would be, means for a new trial, at least, which would at least, delay Glossop's execution. And I think that, it's becoming much less common to sentence people to death all over the United States. I don't know what exactly would happen to Sneed, but I don't think it would be like an automatic death penalty case if he were to come forward today and say.
I mean, because at this point, he's not only committed murder. If he were to say hypothetically that I did it and Glossop wasn't involved, but he's lied and put Glossop in jail for 18 years, so he'd be in a lot of legal trouble, presumably, if he were to come forward.
Potentially. I think it's hard to say. There's been a lot of, prison snitches who have sentenced people to death by being, pointing fingers at them. But I don't really think I'm not sure. This is all kind of speculation in terms of
right.
How a jury would see it. But I think that, the fault lies with the state and with the prosecutors and the police who pressured him to say something and didn't give him much of a choice. So I'm not really
sure. No, I'm not. I understand that. And in fact, one of the things that interests me is that the district attorney in this case says that this is ridiculous, that this is all a bunch of death penalty opponents who are trying to stop the execution tomorrow, and it's got nothing to do with the innocence of Richard Glossop. I mean, he dismisses this entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe he called it bull.
Yeah, that's the word he used.
He also said that if he saw evidence, if the defense were, this is what he says. Who knows if it's true? He says that if the defense were to present compelling evidence at this stage, he would be going to the governor himself and telling her to stay the execution. But that he doesn't think that what they've produced so far is enough to
know
that he's not guilty.
There was no physical evidence whatsoever that Glossop ordered this crime.
Right.
And obviously Justin Sneed was the star witness. What other evidence other than Justin Sneed was there?
I don't think there was much against Glossop. I don't think that there was any real evidence. There was no evidence. I think there was some suggestion that he had paid him, and there was no evidence of that. There was no evidence of any kind of deal between them. I think it was kind of just a shoddy defense.
I mean, Justice Sneed beat Barry Ventrese to death with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a really grisly way to die. I mean, I would think most hitmen would, just shoot somebody, frankly, and try to get away. If there's no evidence of payment, how the heck do you show a murder for hire?
I don't know. I think it was entirely based on Sneed's testimony. And, according to the affidavit that was released this week by one of his, by one of the legal experts, I believe, said that there was no... Oh, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, the legal expert said
there was evidence for the theory for
Glossop's involvement actually came from the investigators, not from Justin Snead. So they sort of, I mean, it's hard to say what happened really, but they supposedly decided that he was involved, and he was embezzling money, but there was no real clear motive for either one of them really to be involved. So.
Let me ask you this. The evidence is that the jury did not actually see Justin Snead's taped confession, where mm-hmm. the video shows the police telling Snead they don't believe he acted alone, and actually telling Snead they arrested Glossop and pressing mm-hmm. Snead about whether the whole thing was his idea or not. It seems
right.
to me, and again, it sounds like just a shoddy defense work, that one of the first things you would do if you were defending a man charged with capital murder is show that taped confession to show that the police put the idea in the head of Snead, that who apparently had a drug addiction and might have a reason to beat someone with a baseball bat to get some money for his drugs.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, that the police put that idea in his head, that seems to me classic what they call exculpatory evidence, evidence showing that a man is not guilty, that should be shown in any trial. Was there a case made to the federal court that because this evidence wasn't shown, that Richard Glossop didn't have effective counsel?
Well, his counsel, I mean, I'm not sure how that video played into it. His counsel was found to be inadequate the first time around. But I think, like, now that he has a new defense team, they've tried a bunch of different strategies, but I'm not sure that they've, I think they're still in the process of trying to gather evidence to present to the court so that they have a really rock-solid case. Which is why they're asking for more time.
Is there still time for the court to do something, or is it just down to the governor of Oklahoma that she has to stay the execution or Richard Glossop will die tomorrow?
I think it's really up to Governor Fallon. You know, it's hard to say, like, what could come to light in the next, you know, 60 days or however long they might theoretically give him. But it definitely seems like there's a lot of doubt in the case, and it's not doubt that's going to be resolved by anyone else in the next 24 hours.
And can Governor Fallon presumably can delay the execution without ending the execution, right? She could say, give it 60 more days, given these accounts, just to double-check these accounts. She doesn't have
right.
to free the man.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's something she can do. Okay, I want to give our listeners a chance to call in and add to this conversation. Call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I want to hear from you about what you think about the fact that Oklahoma appears ready to execute what may well be an innocent man. And I want to emphasize that whatever your feelings are on the death penalty, and I certainly respect people who oppose it in all circumstances, this is not that case. This is not a case of a difficult case where the guy is obviously guilty and you may oppose the death penalty. This is the case of a man who may well be innocent and not be able to get his life back. And does it surprise you, I guess, that the Oklahoma governor in a very red conservative state may just be ready to order or at least allow a lethal injection of a man who might be innocent? 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back with Aviva Shen right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Aviva Shen. She's the senior editor of Think Progress, and she also has worked for Slate's Political Gabfest, a weekly politics podcast from Slate magazine. She was even part of the new media team in Ohio for the 2008 Obama campaign and has written for Smithsonian Magazine, Salon, and New York Magazine. She's not the only one writing about Richard Glossop. The LA Times has said that the Oklahoma governor should give him 60 days. Slate has written about it, and there's detailed discussions on CNN and The Intercept. Here's what you may have heard of Barry Scheck. He's part of the Innocence Project. It's his job to try to help innocent people, people he believed may be innocent, to avoid the death penalty. This is a direct quote from Barry Scheck. When Snead, and Snead, Justin Snead is the person who beat Barry Van Treese to death with a baseball bat, when Snead was first questioned by detectives, Snead said he didn't know anything about the murder. Then he said he didn't kill Mr. Van Treef. Then he admitted that he did, but said it was an accident. He only meant to rob him and knock him out. Then, after the detectives told him they didn't believe he acted alone, and that they had Glossop in custody, and that it would be better for Sneed if Sneed gave them another name, Sneed said, guess what? Richard Glossop got him to kill Barry Van Treef. After getting what they were looking for, Sheck writes, the police assured Sneed that this story would help him avoid the death penalty. Richard Glossop is set to be executed in Oklahoma tomorrow. Aviva Shen, how common are cases like this one?
Well, unfortunately, pretty common. I think, you know, it's very, very hard to get someone exonerated. You know, there's so many people on death row whose cases have just been totally shoddily put together. There's lots of doubt, and yet we execute them anyway, especially because a lot of these cases, you know, like Glossop, are from many, many years ago, where there's a lot of evidence that has disappeared in that time, or, you know, the witnesses have died, stuff like that. It just makes it really, really hard to get someone who is innocent off of death row. And there have been, you know, many documented cases, which the Innocence Project has helped document, of innocent people who have been put to death that we know now after they died that they were innocent.
Justice Breyer mentions a few of them in his dissent in Glossop's case. He mentions the 2004 Texas execution of Cameron Todd Willingham, Georgia's 2011 execution of Troy Anthony Davis, and there's a third one as well I don't have in front of me. But it appears increasingly we are executing innocent people.
Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, if it's increasingly, I think we've been kind of doing this all along, but that there's much more of an effort now against the death penalty than there used to be. And besides innocence, there's also quite a lot of cases where the person who is being executed is clearly mentally ill. I forget who it was. I think it might have been the Georgia inmate you mentioned, who was so clearly not in the right state of mind that he said he wasn't going to eat his final meal because he was going to save it for later. And it just, there have been so many cases like that, where people who are very obviously have no idea what's happening to them, which is against the Constitution, even though the Supreme Court has decided that the death penalty is constitutional again. It is not constitutional to put to death someone who is mentally, you know, unfit to know what's going on with what's going on to them, and that keeps happening.
The third case, by the way, which I now have in front of me, is Lester Bauer, another Texas case of a man executed in June. What I find interesting about the three cases that Breyer mentioned, and certainly about Glossop's case, is all of these cases involve very strong exculpatory evidence, which is a fancy legal phrase, meaning tending to show innocence. But I mean really strong stuff, like that Sneed was told basically he would have a capital trial himself if he didn't finger his boss, Richard Glossop. This really strong evidence that wasn't presented to the jury. And I'm a lawyer, although I'm not a criminal lawyer and I haven't done a capital case, but it seems to me that the Due Process Clause of the Constitution requires exculpatory evidence, evidence that tends to show someone is not guilty, that be shown to the trier of fact, in this case the jury. And when a lawyer doesn't show that his client is innocent or her client is innocent to a jury, why aren't these cases being retried?
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of things in our criminal justice system that are ideals that we should be living up to and are not. I think that there's a lot of political motivation on the part of prosecutors and politicians who don't want to admit that they've made a mistake. I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of sentiment that, you know, you have to be tough on crime and you have to, you can't, like, let these murderers off the hook. And so I think that's kind of a big reason why you don't see more of these cases being retried. I also think oftentimes there's just not the manpower to do it. I know in Virginia, I think they had like a horrible capital defense program, and that was recently reformed. And after it was reformed, the number of people who ended up on death row like fell dramatically. And I think so a lot of times, like, these people just don't really have lawyers, or they don't have adequate lawyers who can insist on that evidence being shown to a new trial, or, you know, aren't going to like hire the investigators to go out and dig up new evidence that's really clear. So there's a lot of places where the system breaks down.
Aviva, talk about how difficult it is for someone on death row to get a lawyer. I mean, obviously, Barry Scheck is someone who's well-known, nationally known, is a very, very competent attorney, but he cannot go out and defend every single one of these cases. How many hundreds of death row cases are there in a year, and what kind of attorneys do they have to defend these people who are accused of a capital crime?
I don't have the numbers in front of me of how many, but I do think that the number is dwindling, as most states, sort of, besides, you know, places like Texas, but most states have sort of stopped issuing death penalty sentences, so it's becoming, thankfully, a little less common that way. But I do think, you know, it's hard for attorneys to essentially commit to a lifelong case, because when you've got a death row inmate, you've got appeals for decades and decades as that person is trying to, you know, either push back their execution or be exonerated, and that's just a really heavy lift for any attorney.
Well, and also given that we have very little money going to criminal defense attorneys in general,
right,
and certainly for indigent defendants, if a very wealthy person is accused of murder, and they can afford to hire the Johnny Cochrans and so forth in the industry. But for a poor guy like Richard Glossop, or at least not a wealthy guy, it's really hard to even find the lawyers to take these cases. I mean, there are true believers like Barry Scheck who oppose the death penalty, but it's still a very, very hard case to do, to have the resources to even defend a client like that.
Yeah, and that's a problem that extends to the entire criminal justice system, where you have public defenders who are struggling under massive caseloads, and, you know, they're only supposed to be handling like 100 cases a year, and they're handling 1,000, and that, you know, they're not able to give their clients, you know, no matter what they've done, really adequate representation, because they're given maybe, you know, 5 to 10 minutes to review the case. They're not going to necessarily like spot all of the issues with a case, and they oftentimes will go in and say, okay, take this plea deal, and, you know, that's the end of it for that client. They're not being given adequate representation. And obviously when capital punishment is involved, the stakes are a lot higher, but it is a problem throughout the criminal justice system.
And I have to condemn the judge here, because it is the ultimate job of the court to seek justice. And when you've got a guy like Sneed, this 19-year-old man, when he was arrested, who saw his lawyer once in the first 6 months he was in custody, gave the police several different contradictory versions of what took place and told several versions of the story, and the jury isn't even shown the taped so-called confession of Justin Sneed, where the police suggest that that Richard Glossop did it, and in fact also suggests that Sneed would be better off and would avoid death himself if he fingered Richard Glossop. All those things not being shown to the jury, it's hard for me to believe that any judge who actually cares about justice would allow this to go forward in his or her courtroom.
Yeah, it's true. I think a lot of judges maybe aren't thinking about the human cost to their decisions. It's hard to say how much, you know, they are thinking about the consequences of that and kind of what they're dooming someone to. And, you know, even in the Supreme Court case, Glossop v. Gross, I think Justice Alito's opinion kind of showed that callousness in a lot of ways by, you know, there was some reasoning in there that said that essentially, because we've decided that the death penalty is constitutional, we therefore have to kind of bend the Constitution to allow some pain for inmates to feel. And there's just, it's just sort of like this very cold calculus of not really thinking about what you're doing to human beings.
Of the 155 people who were on death row and were exonerated, were found not guilty, removed from death row, of all the 155, 10 were tried in Oklahoma. I want to open up the lines, give you a chance to weigh in if you would like to. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Whatever your views are on the death penalty, on Richard Glossop, let me know what you think of this extraordinary case. As I said, Richard Glossop is scheduled to die tomorrow. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. My guest is Aviva Shen, senior editor of Think Progress, and someone who's worked on the Slate Political Gab Fest. We're talking about the case of Richard Glossop, a man about to be executed in Oklahoma tomorrow based on very flimsy evidence. A juror in that case has said that if he had known all of the evidence that's coming out now, he would not have voted to convict. Will he be executed tomorrow? I guess it all depends on the governor. I want to take your calls at 888-488-MARK. Let's go to Britt in California on line four. Hi, Britt. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Mark? Thanks for having me on.
Sure. What are your thoughts on the Richard Glossop case?
Well, what I'm calling about, I'll be honest with you. I'm concerned because for years and years and years, growing up on the East Coast, I was a supporter of the death penalty. And I guess I got to say, as we've gotten more mature, as I've gotten more mature, and I'd like to think as the country's gotten more mature, we I think, have gotten to a place where the death penalty is a mistake. And, I think the country knew that. You know, the death penalty was repealed back in 77 or something like that, or 75.
Yeah, the court found it unconstitutional, and then 3 years later they changed their mind.
Right, yeah. So, you know, and one of the things I think that goes on the side of getting rid of the death penalty is the fact that if we were living in a vacuum and we had a perfect system and we had perfect knowledge and we had, prosecutors and judges that had clear consciences and actually wanted to see the truth get out there, then possibly the death penalty may be a useful tool. But we don't. We're in a situation where we can't rely on the system to be perfect, and really, if even one innocent person dies, then the whole system should be tossed out. There's absolutely no way that if we can guarantee, there's no way that the system can guarantee that every person is guilty. If one innocent person dies, then it's unacceptable, and we've seen so many times how many people have been exonerated on life sentences due to DNA results or other testimony.
Right.
And I really think it comes down to the fact that there are probably innocent men sitting on death row today, and that alone is enough to make me say that that's an unacceptable place to be. We need to absolutely ban the death penalty. It's unacceptable. And also, I think if you look at the numbers of the people who are on there and look at the breakdown of race, you would see that clearly the death penalty is greatly much more affecting minorities than it is.
It is.
It's
certainly
say
people,
the general population
of
as a whole. It's clear that it seems that minorities are much more likely to end
That's
up
true.
On death row than say
minorities
the general
and poor
population
people.
At
Absolutely.
Large.
Thank you for your call, Britt. I appreciate that. In this case, a couple more facts. The motel receipts that might have helped Glossop were supposedly lost in the flood. Sneed claimed that they used a shower curtain and duct tape to cover the motel windows broken during the struggle, but that was missing, too. It might have shown that Glossop's fingerprints were not on that. Let's go to Jeff in Arizona on line three. What say you, Jeff?
Hi there, Mark. Okay.
Right.
I'm pretty much, I've always been pro-life across the board, and that's with whether it's the unborn or the old or people on death row. And it's not just to have the state put to death somebody, in my opinion. It's just, I just don't think that's right. And there's a lot of believers that are pro-life on one end, and then they're pro death penalty. That's a contradiction, in my opinion. But yes, we got too much good evidence to exonerate, like you said, all the people that has been exonerated. And that's why I will not live in Texas, Oklahoma, or Florida. I will not live there because they have the they put people. Mostly, I think it's Florida and Texas. They put people to death. I mean, every other day it seems like, and it's a sad reflection on our humanity to do this. Now, if someone is guilty, I'm not saying let them go. I'm just saying,
right?
They could serve a sentence in jail, and maybe they have a chance to repent and turn from that thing and have a life. It is possible. I've seen it myself, and it's very sad to me that we can't get rid of this this thing. And I hope we can in the future. It'd be very, very good for us to not have a culture of death, and that's part of it.
I appreciate your sharing your views with me. Let me go to Dave in Humboldt County on line two. Hi, Dave, longtime listener. How are you?
Well, the logic to me is irrefutable. Even well-meaning people do make mistakes, and the act of execution is an irreversible act. So I know my home state of Rhode Island, they threw the death penalty out after they had executed an innocent person. So just using a fallible means to do an irreversible act is nuts.
I hear you. 155 people on death row have been exonerated, at least according to Supreme Court Justice Breyer. Three innocent people have been executed. I want to give Aviva Shen, my author here, who brought this to my attention, the final word. Go ahead, Aviva.
Yeah, I agree with all the callers. I think that the death penalty is, a lot of states have already recognized that it's a problem and have banned it. I think that the recent Supreme Court decision is sort of making things harder by suggesting that states can really just kill anyone on death row, even if the methods are questionable. But I do think that there is a growing movement against the death penalty, and you're seeing it more with, medical professionals refusing to take part. You're seeing it with, like, Europe refusing to sell us drugs. I think you're starting to see, in general, the tide is turning in terms of public opinion about the criminal justice system.
And to be clear, it's not just Democrats anymore. A lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans are starting to turn against the death penalty as well.
Right, yeah. I think that there's a lot of bipartisan momentum against, just in general, like the kind of injustices that are perpetuated in the name of criminal justice and the racial disparities and all of that. And I don't think we've seen it really before, so I'm hopeful that that means that there will be some momentum for change.
Well, Aviva Shen, you've helped give us this momentum for change. Thank you for bringing the Richard Glossop case to my attention and to the world's attention. I'm glad to share it here on the Inside Scoop. Folks, that's all we've got for today. This is Mark Levine. If you want to follow me on Twitter, just tweet at me at Mark Levine Talk. My website is marklevinetalk.com. If you missed today's show or any other day's show, we have a lot to talk about this week, so make sure you stay tuned tomorrow to the Inside Scoop.